Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Hey, Biscuit. Biscuit, guess what?
What?
Guess what? Well, first off, it's the V Show, everybody, here on a Thursday on ESPN 680 1057. It's Biggest Biscuit, Mr. Biscotti, Dave Skoll, Nick Valvano, in for one, Bobby V. Pops, as I like to call him.
But how's he doing today? He's doing all right?
We did.
Is he doing okay, Nick?
Well, call back, caller. We'll get you on in just a sec.
How's your Pops doing?
I don't know where he went.
Oh, he knocked his headphones off his head. That's why he can't hear what I'm saying.
What? Dude.
There's nothing like doing the. Let me tell you guys at home, if you want to know how doing the doing radio is, there's doing sports radio, and then there's doing the V Show. And it's just they're two different things. Like Nick, I was in the middle of trying to ask you how your father was doing, and I asked you like six times, and you kept saying, "I don't know where he went. I don't know where." And I was like, "You don't know where your dad went? What are you talking about?
He's missing." Well, maybe Robbie and Prospect can help us out.
Still don't want to answer the question, Robbie.
Hi, Robbie from Prospect.
Hey, there he is.
I've only been in radio for like 25 years, so when he said, hang on, I'll put you through, the first thing you always tell callers is to turn your radio down. So instead, I hung up.
While I was unplugging my headphones. So
hey, sounds good.
Yeah. Boop. Yeah.
Come by it honestly.
I was like, what does this button do? Hey, everybody went. Everybody's gone. How'd that happen? So anyway.
Well, we're glad you're with us.
Now we're back. But I heard you talking about football, about the football players on the football field, the football team, and you made a great, great point, Mr. El Señor Biscotti, for our ESPN Deportes listeners. You made a point that is not made enough, and I guess it's selfish of me because it kind of ties in with the letting the cake bake thing, but you said, I'm trying to quote you exactly, you got to find the difference between things that look like maybe they're struggling and you have to put them in a context and things that you really don't need a context to do. And right. I thought that was so on the money because that's what the first games everybody does. I mean, everybody has to do that because you don't have enough of a sample size to really tell. And that's still where Louisville, more than most, is in that boat because, they played one team from a very, very good league that has not been a powerful team in that league, but I don't know, they may be better this year. Mm-hmm. Again, we don't know. And they played a team they clearly outmanned, and some of those things look good that you could say, hey, you know, it doesn't matter who they were playing. Some things look bad, doesn't matter who they were playing. And then there's a whole big wide band of stuff that you go, I just can't tell yet what's going to happen with that. And that's what, frankly, a lot of the discussion should be about, and you're doing a good job of pointing that out because, I mean, I saw something I'd like your comment on. Everybody wants you to throw the ball, but I mean, against the good defense against Ole Miss, it didn't look like our receivers could get any separation. I mean, you can't throw it to them unless they're getting open, and they look like they couldn't get open. And then, of course, the offensive line has been a little porous, and he doesn't have much time to wait for somebody to come free, and so the whole thing just snowballs. And you pointed it out. I mean, one thing is related to the other. You can't set up other plays unless that zone run works effectively, and as you said, it has not. So all those things go hand in hand, but right now we got to figure out which are the ones that are struggles because you're putting them in a context, and which are ones where you just go, ooh, you know what, we're just not going to be that good at that. We're going to have to work around that. And I think those are the most important questions you ask early in the year.
Yeah, and the biggest thing, the biggest takeaway from that first game was not that like I didn't have an issue with them not being able to pass when they were dropping eight on us. It was the fact that we couldn't run when they were dropping eight that bothered me more than anything.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
you drop eight, and you got to be able to run the football, and they didn't do that very, very well. But you know, you did such a good job. You break down the offensive line like nobody's business. I mean, I'm telling you.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Robert. I appreciate that.
You are breaking it down. You got guys you're talking about. But the thing that Nick asked a question and you answered, but you know, it really this goes in that gray area. Are they struggling out of context for various reasons early in the year? They played a good team in the opener, or they're just not as good as we'd hope they were based on what the comments were in the early part of the season. How far along do you have to go before you can make a definitive statement about that in your mind?
I don't know. See, because the Eastern Kentucky game didn't do anything to allay your concerns. You know what I mean? So, if anything, it made you go, eh. I mean, we're winning about half the reps against an FCS defensive line, that's not good. You know,
that fumble was because of, I mean, early, like you said, again, they came out flat.
Yeah, and so I feel like this game right here against a good group of five team, not a typical group of five team, it's more like a power five team with UCF, like this is going to be a pretty good litmus test at this point where you're like, all right, we got an unranked group of five team coming here. Granted, a good program coming into to Cardinal Stadium, if we look flat and uninspired or not on the same page, if we just don't look like a good football game or football team this Friday, I think it's time to worry and officially adjust your expectations going forward. You know, and that's unfortunate. And one of the things I said in the first segment was, I don't know, with the way they're talking about the problems, I don't know if they're really equipped to fix them or if they really are intent on fixing them, because they're not talking about you know, big shifts in play calling and everything like that. They're talking about, well, we're 1 or 2 inches away, we're just this close on these plays, and I'm not seeing that personally, but maybe I'm wrong.
That's what she said, but anyway, I'm sorry, I couldn't help. That was
you just turn, look, Bob, you call into your own show, you just turn in to a listener right away. It's amazing to me.
It had to be said.
Hanging curveball, got to swing. Got to get on the mixtape, baby.
You got to.
I know it was 3-0. Coach wanted the take sign, but you got to turn me loose on that.
Like, come on, he teed me up. What do you want me to do?
Absolutely.
I'm human.
I was actually going to ask something of, the big head of producer will know this. Rich Savozic, you know, works at UCF now. He's the assistant athletic director. He left Arkansas.
Oh, hey.
No, I completely forgot about that.
One of my best friends in the world, he's coming into town today, and we're going to have breakfast tomorrow, and I'm going to try and you can come with me, Biscuit, and we'll beat the crap out of him, see if we can get their game plan, and then we'll bring it to Saturday.
Sounds like a plan.
We already tried that with Wake.
Is this a big guy, Bob? Or is this
earlier?
He's Croatian, for what it's worth.
I tuned in earlier to the Ethan Moore testimonial dinner that was going on. Which was very nice. I thought that was just delightful.
Seriously, Ethan's awesome. I cannot say that enough.
Right. I heard all the guest speakers when you had everybody here. You had, you know, it was unbelievable. You had the lineup of all stars coming in. You had Cardi B. Everybody was here just to testifying to his brilliance. But having said that, he said 7 wins this year. Coaching staff's okay. 7 losses, I think the hammer falls. You buy that, Biscuit?
I think that they're going to have a tough... Like, I think that the fan base will want that. Personally, I think if he's 4-8, then the hammer falls. 5-7, whether he should be gone or not, it might be a tougher sell. Because, like it or not, Vince is tied to this guy, too. I mean, he was his first major hire. Him and Chris Mack were his first two major hires. I think people with Chris Mack, I think he was the hire regardless of whether I was the AD or Vince Sotire was the AD. So I think that Satterfield was the first kind of uniquely Vince Tyree hire. So I don't think he wants to fire him early and pay him a buyout unless he absolutely has to. But if you're at 4-8, it's going to be hard to argue that we're not headed in the very much wrong direction with not a whole lot of positive signs for the future. So.
All right, Nick, did you ask Biscuit, is he coming to play Monday or he can't get out of work?
He's 50-50 right now.
I'm trying, Bob. I'm trying.
Your game time decision?
Yes.
I offered to call in a bomb threat, but he said, no. Maybe, let's not go that route again.
He's a good friend.
How about we buy more crap from you, maybe then your boss will say, okay, great.
That'd probably help. Honestly, right. I can sell it as going to a customer's event, because we do golf scrambles and stuff like that all the time. I can tell them, look, I've got to go help them out, so.
You're supposed to be taking care of your clients. I'm a client, dang it.
Trust me, it's already on the mind. Like, we're going to try to work that angle.
There.
So where are we on bomb threat? Just need to know.
They don't care where I am. My job doesn't care. I don't even know. They don't care. I'm just going
to
leave.
There are things in motion, so I need to know.
Like, it's a matter of, like, I can get out whenever I want. It's just a matter of how much work do I have to do at the office. You know what I'm saying?
Well, hell, Jamie will do it.
Bring it in. I once did a show. Yes, sir, this is true. Because it pissed me off, although he's a pretty nice guy. Sean Salisbury, Nick knows this, during the show, we had a three-hour shift. He spent the whole three-hour shift paying his bills. Back when, you used to do it with paper. He had a stack of papers and his checkbook, and he's doing the show, and he's paying his bills. We were on the air. sorry to bother you, but can we do a radio show? I mean, by the way, I think your electric bill's overdue. But it was just, it was unbelievable. So why don't you bring your work in? We'll do it. Nick and I will also help you with it. Come on in, and whatever you got to do, one of us will excuse ourselves, go make a phone call for you, and see if we can move some merchandise.
David,
I love it.
Why is there maple syrup all over these forms?
Don't worry about it.
That's right.
How's about mind your own business?
Mind you see how many widgets we sold? That's what you should be worried about. Don't be worried about no syrup or nothing. We moved some widgets.
David, why are you talking like that?
Did the convent really need that many t-shirts? Yeah, they did, all right? So just lay off, all right?
It was casual Friday, no habits.
Mr. Therese is a very, 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 very good customer. So there you go. All right, I got to go.
Hey, Pops, before you go, have you seen the Mets documentary yet?
No, I have not, but I've watched them lose mercilessly at home and just take the fans' hopes and not only cut them with a razor-sharp knife, but then gather all of the Morton salt they can and dump it in with a truck and make sure that their fans are absolutely as painful as possible. So there you go.
There you go.
Although the Reds are getting pretty good at that, too. The Reds last night, see how they lost? Oh, my. They lost to the lowly Pittsburgh Pirates. Guy was on second base, first and second, one out, hit an absolute smash to Joey Votto at first, who knocked it down, picked it up, and tossed to the pitcher covering first, and the guy on second never slowed down. Scored from second on a grounder to first, and they lost 5-4. That was a walk-off.
Six divisions.
Swung on! This ball! Goal!
Six pennant races.
That's a great segment right there. Day baseball.
Can you believe that?
I didn't believe what I saw last night, I'll tell you that. So, a bad night for my rooting teams. Although, I will point this out. I would like to point this out to regular V-Show listeners. I am not a fair-weather fan, so just because we have baseball back here does not mean I have abandoned the KT Wiz, and they are in first place by four games. The KT Wiz in first place by four games. If I was able to get a passport, and currently I cannot, I'd think about going to Korea for the championship series. I swear. Don't tell you about that. But I would try very much to do that. That would be awesome. Just drop in there and I'd have to buy. Biscuit, do you know what sizes we'd be in Korea?
Listen.
Somewhere around Kaiju and Giant.
My brother-in-law is a film professor, and he does some documentary work, between years. And he did a documentary in Vietnam, and he brought me back this Vietnamese like brewery shirt, and it was a double X, and it was like a child small.
I bought a KT shirt last year because I got in the spirit of things,
yeah.
Like you, and I bought an XL. And when we got it back, Nick will tell you, this is probably not surprising to the listeners, we have about 9 million stuffed animals wherever we get them. True. We never get rid of them. And it fits the teddy bear.
It's insane. Like, the sizing is insane in Southeast Asia.
It's kind of like going to, it's kind of like going to Starbucks. I mean, it's pretend size. You know, what size are you? I would like a 7XXL. loose fitting, please. You know, so I don't know. If I go, I'll bring you back a souvenir.
I appreciate that.
Can you bring me back Oreos? It's the only place on the planet that has
you talk about things being on brand for the show. I mean, it's one in a million I go to Korea, but if I do, the only thing the big head producer wants me to bring back is Oreos. What does that tell you? That should tell you something.
Hey, for what it's worth, the golden child, Jamie, agrees with me. Like, I bought them for his birthday one time. I got them shipped to the studio, and Dieter was like, why is there Korean cereal on the front desk? And I was like, those are mine. He was like, naturally.
You're asking the wrong questions, Dieter.
I got it for his birthday. Jamie loves Oreos, but the new version, it's not. It's
are
not,
they like
it's
Cheerios,
original.
But...
No, seriously. Like, okay, I'll go down a rabbit hole. No, the Malto meal brand was called Cookies and Cream.
Okay,
of Oreos. That formula, delicious. But they took that formula and they used it for the new, like, Oreos. It's back. It is. But they basically took the generic version and put it in the box. There's one place on the planet. There's a whole message boards for this. There's one place on the effing planet that has the original mixture. It even has the same little mascot who looks like a little cream drop. Insert your own jokes there. It is the only place. It's the original. If you get that, I'm telling you, do a side by side. You could taste the difference. Seasoned Oreos, you know, connoisseurs will be able to tell you. You blindfold me and feed me both cereals, I'll tell you which is which.
Yeah. I can see me getting stopped at the border with like 10 boxes of cereal, and they're like, nobody buys this much cereal, pal. Get in a room. Oh, God. So, all right, got to go. God bless you guys. Take care of yourself.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks.
Bye, Pops. Love
you. I got to tell you that nothing like puts into focus how fat Americans really are until you get international sizing on clothes.
that's a good point.
Like, how big am I supposed to be? This big.
I can only imagine what they say. American size, but they spell it in the native language because we're so ignorant, we don't know. It's just fat truck.
It's like,
you know,
fat truck, like giant fat.
Giant fat. Kaiju. That's Japanese.
Chubby dumpster.
Chubby dumpster.
Like, hey man, that's not cool.
I want the full, you know, Japanese to American, you know, translation.
Yeah.
Kaiju fat man, hot dog eater, rocket ship USA.
It's like when they did the foreign trailers for the Office documentary, you know, on The Office, and then when Kevin pops up, they're like, what does that word mean? And they look it up and it's dumpster man.
Oh my God. I would love for someone to do that for ESPN Louisville personalities. Who's dumpster man here? Fair. Yeah. In the words of Pat Noslin. All right, hey, let's get to this text line. We'll take a break, and then we'll get our girl, Chick Verona, on to talk some Colts because they play the Rams this weekend, and you can hear that right here on ESPN 680-1057. You know what? That's a good segue. It's a good segue. I'm going to do. I'm going to read the promo sheet. I'm going to read some promo sheet stuff. That sound good? That sounds good.
Sounds great.
Yeah, I just need to find it. I had it in my email, and I don't have it now. Here we go. Thank you, Patty Ice. NFL on ESPN Louisville, baby. ESPN Louisville is your home again this year for the most live play-by-play of the NFL, including the Baltimore Ravens and Indianapolis Colts, an exclusive home in Louisville for Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night football. Tonight, Giants and the WFT, the Washington Football Team. I didn't say WTF. I'm proud of myself. That's 8 p.m.
every time.
Every time. They need to just stay the WFT, right?
Yeah, sure.
Washington Football Team, I think, is a pretty great name. It's better than Guardians. No offense, Cleveland.
It's unique.
Yeah. So Giants at WFT, 8 p.m. on all ESPN Louisville sticks, 680-1057, as well as 93.9 The Bill. On Sunday, we will have the Rams and Colts. We'll have the Colts broadcast. You can hear Chick Verona on that. You could also hear her in about 20 minutes when she joins the V Show. We'll have that at noon on ESPN 680-1057, followed by Rummage's Cowboys and Jamie's Chargers. Jamie's a Chargers fan.
Why?
He was a big fan of not LeSean McCoy. Good God.
LaDainian and Tomlinson.
Thank you. Good Lord. Thank you. God, my brain went completely off there. You like Drew Brees, too. Raiders, New York Mike's Raiders at the Steelers, 12 p.m. on 93.9 The Ville, followed by Falcons at Ennis's Bucks, and then Chiefs at Ravens, Jason Anderson's Chiefs, and Louisville's Ravens, 7:30 p.m. on ESPN 680 105.7. That'll be the Westwood One call of that Sunday Night Football matchup. Over on 93.9 The Ville, we'll, at 7:50, we'll have the Ravens broadcast. So there you go. That's a little preview about all the foosball happening that you could listen to right here on ESPN 680 105.7. All right, I'll say this too. We're also your home for Loose City, the other football. Our next broadcast of GE Appliances coverage of Loose City FC is tomorrow, as Loose City takes on the despicable Indy 11. That's still a pretty big rivalry. 6:45, you can hear that on ESPN 680 105.7. And tonight, Chest Trap Soccer City, 6-7 right here on ESPN 680 105.7. Hope our buddy Jason Entz is feeling better. That's not a HIPAA violation, is it? But he's he's got some knee problems, getting those looked at. And, I'm going to come in. And
are you a doctor, Nick?
I'm going to be man of the match, is what I'm going to be. I'm going to come in and I'm going to steal the spotlight from Lance and Casey, and everyone.
Oh, are you coming? Are you going to do the producing tonight?
I'm going to do the producing. I'm hitting the buttons. I'm gonna, I'd say I have soccer takes, but I don't.
Oh, please talk over them constantly. And
well, I want them to feel right at home. So I want them to be like, hey, Entz hasn't even left. Yeah, man, this is why we need video, because when I'm like trying to finish a point, I do a force push. It's like,
whenever I try to answer a question Nick has asked me, but he's not done asking the question, he throws his hand out at me.
Like, stop.
It's amazing, and he does it a lot.
I try to force push you through the soundproof, not soundproof
with your
window.
I love it. I love it every time.
You need to push back and be like, no, I have the higher ground, Anakin. 437-968 UPS jobs text line. We've been teasing the text line
for an hour and a half.
That's how we roll. That's how we roll. I just realized why I couldn't hear you. It's because I had you turned down in my headset. I was flicking all the buttons like something's amiss. Yeah, the volume's down, you jackass. Biscuit, what do you make of the rumor Jason Entz and Mitch Hannigan are actually fraternal twin brothers? I'm sorry. That's too funny.
You don't read the text before you read them, do you?
No. I had one queued up, and then I refreshed
many times,
it.
Like, that one's fine, but so many times you get halfway through a text, you're like, that's filthy.
Oh, yeah. That's how you get canceled. Stuff. It was like,
I am fully confident that Jason Entz and Mitch Hannigan are fraternal twins.
Interesting. I mean, that means they were both born in
Italy.
They
love each other so much.
It is kind of cute. This was the one I wanted to read. Were you ever all district like Strebel?
Are we really talking about high school?
Yeah.
Yes, I was first team all district.
Days.
That is the extent of what we're going to talk about high school football today. But yes, I was first team all district offensive tackle as a senior in high school.
Hey, how you doing? Boom. There you go. People want you guys to go head to head. This guy said, "Would Big Rig work Biscuit?" I don't.
No comment. Don't have to. I love James Strebel.
I say it all the time. He is like, you know who he is? He's like Kane. Like, because he comes on the radio and he's just a monster heel, at least to all the Louisville fan base. And then
all of a sudden he's the mayor of Knoxville.
Yeah, he's like, from all accounts, the nicest person on the planet. Right. Like, that's Streebs. All right, Biscuit, what do you think about the offense trying some gap concepts instead of wide zone? If wide zone doesn't work, we need to try something else to run the ball.
It would be refreshing to me just watching them run this zone blocking. I would actually love for them to just go helmet on helmet, man to man, and actually just blow your man off the ball. I feel like it would take a little bit of the confusion out of it, because that's what I see sometimes, even with guys that have been in the system for 3 years. It seems like oftentimes they don't fully understand where they're supposed to be. Like when I watch games over again and I'm analyzing the plays, doing my best impression of Duke Manyweather, Schlereth or somebody.
I know that guy. I know, yeah. Duke,
by the way. I say it all the time on home radio. If you want to learn about offensive line play, you want to listen to an actual expert actual expert, follow Duke Manyweather on Twitter. That guy knows his offensive line.
You did play. Tell me about that, because yeah. I was asking you off air. I was like, yeah. Biscuit, I don't know the first thing about
I
this.
I play one on radio, you know, like, but those guys have been through the fires at the highest levels.
I started following him when he was posting the Makai videos.
Exactly, yeah. No, speaking he works of, with Makai in the offseason, yeah. Which, God, that cut me. I mean, look, injuries are injuries, but that dude can't catch a break right now. I just hope he's not plagued the rest of his career with these just constant injuries. But
have the Jets been kind of cursed and hurting the
yes,
Cardinals? I mean, Lorenzo Maldon,
honestly,
I mean,
well,
Makai
not
Becton.
Just that, not just that. They've just been cursed overall. They're like people are looking at the Ravens and going, I mean, I can't believe how many people are on IR. The Jets are equal. It's awful, and they were like that last year too. I mean, Carl Lawson, you know, the big pass rusher they signed from the Bengals. For the season, like this is it's just nuts. But I would love to see more hat on hat blocking, honestly, just to see if they can just knock a guy off the ball, off the line of scrimmage. They know exactly where they're supposed to be, you know exactly who they're going to block, you know, instead of seeing what looks like too often with a play that's been our bread and butter for this is going on our third season. I see enough people, enough guys that have been in this system for this long, look like they're lost in space on some of these plays, or turned around. And I would honestly, it would be refreshing to me if we saw some more man-to-man schemes and some more fit and big on big.
That's basically just, you know, not saying that it doesn't require some intelligence, but you know, you're going away from Rick Pitino's mind meld defense where you have, like you said, it has to be a ballet. Everyone has to be on the same page, and you're just saying, just block the damn guy.
Just give me
just
something
one-on-one.
That's easy
pancake
to execute,
his ass.
That's simple. That's basic offensive line play. Because right now I'm looking at it. I'm not saying they can't execute it, but it looks like too often they're lost in space. Like I'm telling you, it's or they're getting beat across and they look like they don't know who they're supposed to be taking when their guy slants to the inside, you know, instead of being there when they're taking their first step to the right in their outside zone. So I don't know. I would love to see them shake it up a little bit, but that's the DNA of this team. You're not going to see them you're not going to see them get away from the outside zone is their base play. You're just not going to see it. But when they're struggling, I would love to see them mix it up a little bit.
Okay. There you go. This texter, I can only assume, is your family member. I love when Biskin is on. Wonderful insight. A mutual friend of mine, who is among the smartest people I know, says that Biscuit's brilliant. I was wondering if you saw anything promising from the O-line.
You guys fooled, man. I am a dumbass, let me tell you.
I hope I didn't walk over that, because that's gold mixtape stuff. This texter asking if you saw anything. Another texter was asking us to be positive. If you saw anything promising from the O-line in the EKU game, because I did not. But you definitely know more about the line play than me. Is there something that you could say, well,
so I watched
Spoon
it
was good. I don't know.
I watched it from the stadium, and I didn't get a chance to rewatch this game. So I'm going all off of naked eye stuff, you know. And I, you know, we're in a place where I can generally see the whole field in the 200 level. But I saw us winning about half the battles against an FCS team. We went about 50-50. You know, we didn't get a lot of push. We got a little bit more in the second half, but not much. You know, and I'm interested. I'll give you something that I'm intrigued by. I'm intrigued by Michael Gonzalez at left tackle. I like when they bring him and Brian Hudson in, just so I can see him develop, you know, as a true freshman, see something different, you know, and let him get plays. He's also been playing. He got some reps at right tackle too. So they're getting him on the field. They trust him, and he's a good-looking kid, like as far as like the build and the athleticism, and he looks like he's big enough to handle ACC play as a freshman, which is pretty rare. But at this point, you throw you guys in there that you got, and you develop them. Same way I feel about Ashton Galati.
Is he Italian, by the way? Before we get the break,
you tell me, man. You're supposed to be the Paisan.
Okay, well, just like you, you know, you got everyone fooled that, you know, oh, I'm really a dumbass. Well, I'm not really that Italian. I'll be honest with you. I'm like Chef Boyardee Italian. I say that all the time. I can do the accent, and I know what some pasta is. That's basically
it. Yeah, and your quote-unquote Italian accent is just a New York accent.
I mean, basically, it's stereotypical.
It's a stereotype.
It's like if someone does like a crappy French thing, it's like, wow, you're really French.
Yeah,
no.
Baguette. Yeah, no, that's not a French accent.
Whoa, I didn't know you're French.
You blew my mind right there.
David Skull. I don't even know what a French last name would be. How you would make that French. Anyway, I don't think she's French, but she's nice nonetheless. And she talks a little bit of Colts football. You could hear her this weekend on the Colts broadcast as they take on the Rams. Our girl chick, Verona Lara Overton, will join us on the other side. It's Dave Skull, Nick Valvano. I've been doing a terrible job of resetting the show. So
I think you're doing a great job.
Thanks. I was fishing there, buddy. It's Dave Skull, Nick Valvano. You're listening to The V-Show. Lara Overton on the other side. It's ESPN 680-1057. I love that song. Gets me every time.
J5.
Yeah, right?
Doc
Do you think there's like a Crustaceous 4 or something like that? Like just a
Cretaceous?
Cretaceous, but has a
Crustaceous? I was like, is that a SpongeBob reference I don't know about?
Oh, man, that sounds like a bad biscuit. Speaking of biscuit, it's Biscuit, Dave Skull, Nick Valvano in for Bobby V here on The V Show. One of our favorites, Lara Overton, will join us. You can hear Lara in the Colts broadcast right here on ESPN 680-1057 as the Colts take on the Rams. That'll be noon this Sunday. Lara, thank you for joining us. How are you?
Hey, I am doing well, and I hope when all you guys are listening this Sunday, we have a lot more good to talk about in week two than we did in week one when the Colts opened up the season with a loss against the Seattle Seahawks. Another opportunity, though, this weekend at Lucas Oil Stadium. So excited to be back there, excited to be back on the sidelines, back with fans, all of those things. Now we just need that victory to follow up all the other kind of good things that are happening there in terms of getting people back to what felt like a more normal game day atmosphere.
Well, let's get right into it. Well, Biscuit could weigh in on this a little bit, too, being the offensive line consigliere. But are the Colts, good news, Eric Fisher making a return. Bad news, Brandon Smith maybe out. No easy task shutting down Aaron Darnold. What are we looking at here in terms of the health of the guys in the trenches, Lara?
Man, it's tough because not only do you have this situation that emerged on Monday, Sunday into Monday with Braden Smith, we learned about it Monday afternoon from head coach Frank Reich, but you also have Quentin Nelson, who was limited in practice last week, dealing with a bit of a back issue. So you have this battle of the Titans, as I've been calling it. You know, everyone has been building up this matchup along the line between Aaron Donald and Quentin Nelson, who are, you know, two possible or likely Pro Football Hall of Famers, future Pro Football Hall of Famers, their respective positions. And you really don't know exactly at what strength, what percentage of health Quentin Nelson is right now. He played very well last Sunday. Certainly, you're not pinning a loss on him. But when you are going up against this Rams defense that not only has Aaron Donald up front, you also have Jalen Ramsey in the mix as well. You want as many pieces up there protecting your quarterback, creating opportunities in the run game, and also, you know, availing your wide receivers for especially a new quarterback, Carson Wentz, who's still trying to find that rhythm, still trying to get on the same page with a lot of his receivers because he's only had, you know, six practices, right, with these guys between having the foot surgery over training camp and then missing a few days because of a close contact COVID situation. So it's going to be very interesting what it looks like. Right now, we actually are taking the practice field right now. So we'll get a little bit more information on how much Eric Fisher is able to do, how much Quentin Nelson does today, and how much Braden Smith does, if anything, today. So between, you know, practice, end of practice today, and then practice tomorrow, which is right around noon, there are a ton of variables just in figuring out who the heck your personnel is going to be up front there along that offensive line. Should Eric Fisher, kind of going to throw out a couple scenarios, should you be able to get Eric Fisher back and start him at left tackle, you open up the possibility that if Braden Smith is not able to go, Julian Davenport at least gives you the option of switching over to that right side. He made the start in week one. There's the potential that he could go week two just on the opposite side of the line and step up should Braden Smith not be available. But guys, it's, I mean, goes without saying, it's a less than ideal scenario from a health perspective when you are going up against this Rams defense led by Aaron Donald, who had 13 and a half sacks last season on his own. And of course, that Rams was a top ranked defense in 2020.
I'm still not convinced. It's Lara Overton, also known as Chick Ferona, joining us. Dave Skolnick Valvano on the B Show here on a Thursday, ESPN 680 105.7. I'm still not convinced that Aaron Darnold, I always call him Aaron Darnold. I for whatever reason, I cannot get my brain to
not. Sam Darnold. Well, do you know what I dealt with last week? I kept having to stop myself every time I would say Russell Wilson because I would start to say Russell Westbrook. Like, I don't know why. I don't know if it's because of my old days working for the Indiana Pacers and doing so many NBA games for, like, six seasons when I was emceeing for them that, like, Russell Westbrook is just emblazoned in my brain. So, yes. So, Aaron Donald, not Aaron Donald meets Sam Darnold. That's a whole nother thing. But, yes, exactly. Aaron Donald for sure. Go ahead with your point, though.
Well, I feel like you have a valid excuse. Biscuit and I are just in. I mean, Biscuit's not making the mistakes, but we're just sad Jets fans. So,
oh, I'll make the mistakes.
We see ghosts sometimes, just like Sam. But speaking of the offensive line. I know this because he was on my fantasy my fantasy team against the Rams last week. David Montgomery had a pretty solid game, got a score, averaged about 5 yards per carry. What can we expect to see from this running game with the Colts in? How much does that rely on the efficiency of the offensive line?
It's an outstanding question, and it's something I talked with Frank Reich about earlier in the week, because what you know Carson Wentz gives you that maybe you didn't have in previous scenarios with guys like Jacoby Brissett, and, you know, Phillip did to some degree, but Carson Wentz really provides you outstanding opportunities for the explosive plays. You know, you saw it, you've seen it over the course of his career, not so much last season in Philadelphia, of course, but we're just going to, you know, avoid that. We're going to gloss over that entirely, but you need those 20 plus yard type of plays, and it's to be expected perhaps that you didn't necessarily get as many of those in week one because he just hasn't had as much time to start clicking with those receivers. You feel like that's going to be a dynamic that grows over time, but the other thing is Frank Reich really places heavy priority on utilizing the run game, and the effectiveness in the run game is what sets up those explosive plays.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, you had, you know, Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines had a fine day. You know, I think it was just under 100 yards rushing, maybe 26 carries in week one. But if there is any weakness, and there aren't many for the Rams, but they do, or they did at least in week one, show some difficulty in stopping the run. And you obviously have this combination of Jonathan Taylor, Nyheim Hines, Marlon Mack, and Jordan Wilkins. And one thing that we have learned over the course of this training camp preseason period was that Nyheim Hines really developed himself in running up the middle. People like to call him a gadget guy because of, you know, how well he factors in both in rushing and in receiving situation. He's always a threat catching passes out of the backfield and doing those things. But there were a couple plays last Sunday where he drove it right up the middle, spun out of some tackles against a very good Seattle Seahawks defense as well. So this is a bit of another component that Nyheim Hines has developed in his game. So the great aspect for the Colts is that you have so many different backs that you can work the ball around to. It's going to keep those guys fresh while the opposing defensive line is potentially, you hope, and that contingent of linebackers getting a bit worn down by what you're able to do, because Jordan Wilkins is like your third, fourth guy on the depth chart, and he averages more than 4 yards per carry. He's like third or fourth on your depth chart at that point.
Wow, so I didn't realize it was that much.
This is a great situation where you've got to feed the hot hand in this situation. And then when, you know, you need to kind of keep guys out, you can mix guys in and keep them really fresh. To me, you've just got to try to like drive the ball down the middle as often as possible, you know, get into favorable yardage situations that create opportunities for those big guys. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw some of the grabs, like Michael Strawn made some incredible grabs on Sunday. You know, the rookie, he's the big body. He's that component complementary to what Michael Pittman gives you in this offense. So to me, I think that I would love to see establish the run game first and foremost against this defense. Make them play a little bit back in their heels in some situations, you know, when you are in advantageous field position, and then really start working it around to those guys like Pittman and Zach Pascal, who you saw had two touchdowns last week, and then Paris Campbell and Mike Strong, rookie tight end Kylan Granson. You know, he was one who was somewhat involved, maybe not as much as you expected him to be, but the Colts do now have something they haven't necessarily had in the past, and that is a number of really solid red zone reliable targets because of you've kind of beefed up your receivers and your tight ends. Of course, you've always had Mo Alie-Cox all along. Jack Doyle's Mr. Reliable. He's always going to be there for you. But now you have Michael Pittman Jr. is motivated coming off of a shortened season last year, missed, you know, a number of games due to the compartment syndrome he dealt with. He has looked outstanding. He's one who has had great rapport with Carson Wentz and the time they've had together. He and Strawn have looked great. They've been clicking really well. So there are some different elements that you have. You have to imagine Frank Reich, Marcus Brader back there scheming up how they're going to utilize those guys and try to, you know, take the top off a bit of the Rams defense.
She is Lara Overton of the Colts broadcast. You can hear her and the Colts broadcast team noon right here on ESPN 680-1057 as Indy hosts the Rams. Talking a little bit about the running game and the receiving game. I want to switch to the other side of the ball, but real quick, any health updates on talking about receiving? T.Y. Hilton.
So we actually saw T.Y. came out to watch a little bit of practice last week. The Ghost made an appearance, so he's been around. Nice. He was out there, you know, chopping it up with Frank Reich. You know, he's in great spirits, very motivated. He was, you know, talking about getting in, doing some of the rehab. So no timetable just yet on exactly when he's going to be available. One of those things that's really tricky, you know, with a neck surgery, you really want to be conservative with it and make sure you're not, I mean, in any injury situation, you don't want to rush it too bad. Rush anyone back, but especially in the like spinal area, and when you think back, I think all Colts fans, when you hear neck injury, you immediately have like Peyton Manning flashbacks, and you're like, oh god, you know, the severity of it immediately goes to the extreme. So I would say, you know, look for some updates here in the next couple of weeks. I think the Colts will probably get through that first quarter of the season before you're hearing much maybe about that timetable and exactly what's likely for T.Y. Hilton and where he is. But, you know, he made sure to put out the great GIF, the Terminator, I'll be back, on his Twitter. So, you know, he is not hanging it up. He is not saying, you know, that this is a season-ending scenario based on where he is right now.
Well, good news for the Indy faithful. I like T.Y. Hilton, but I got to be honest. And I, of course, hope he gets feeling better. But when he was with FIU and they absolutely ate Louisville's lunch in the one game I went to that season, ever since then, I was a little like, grr. But
Larry Overton brings that game up all the time to me because he's like, I told you about T.Y. Hilton even before you knew about T.Y. Hilton. He said, because I called him, I was like, we got this receiver, you know, when the Colts drafted him. He's like, I told you about this guy. So my dad, it reminds me all the time of FIU, you know, Eugene Marquise Hilton, otherwise known as T.Y. But yes, I know he was a nightmare for Cardinals fans that season.
Oh man, I was like, who is this guy? He looks like, you know, Tecmo Bowl Bo Jackson out there. I mean,
I still have flashbacks to that game. It's awful.
Glad to know Mr. Overton and I are in our kindred spirits on that one. All right, a couple more before we get Chick Verona out of here. Got to get a comment on, we're talking about receivers. Let's go to the other side of the ball. The secondary for the Colts was a little rough against the Seahawks. Yeah. Thinking of that Tyler Lockett 69-yard score. The secondary came out a little flat. What's going to be done this week that you're seeing to shore up some of the holes?
I'm going to, you know, share a little bit of the, I don't want to say the blame, but I guess that's kind of where it's going. So not to take it on a negative tone, but not only the secondary, but I really thought that some of your linebackers underperformed as well, just because of the high expectations that this defense put out there for themselves this season. And you do have Darius Leonard, Pro Bowler, you know, you have Fabio Okereke, who had just an outstanding training camp. And I saw a few of those guys that just felt a little bit flat. They weren't tackling as aggressively or as effectively as what we're used to seeing, what is characteristic for this defense. So it's almost a bit of a, you know, there's kind of an infectious factor there between not only your secondary, but your linebackers as well, that it just seemed all around, these guys just did not come out necessarily with the amount of, I don't necessarily want to call it like fire or whatever it was, but when we heard from Bobby Okereke, he just felt like tackling technique wasn't there. We heard from him. We also heard from Zaire Franklin today. They both mentioned just they weren't into their fundamentals of tackling for whatever reason it was. I mean, Chris Carson had 91 yards. The bulk of those came, I believe, in the first half, along of 33 yards. And, you know, when you think about Seattle, yeah, I think that there is some attention paid to the run game because Chris Carson is a very strong running back, but all the attention does go to their receivers when you have DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. But right. We even had trouble stopping the run. I think it's understandable that you have DK Metcalf going to get his play. Tyler Lockett going to get a play. But then you have these other guys in there. Will Dissly. I mean, Will Dissly got stiff-armed, Bobby Okereke got stiff-armed by Will Dissly. Didn't see that coming, you know, on Sunday. So there were a number of things. In regards to the secondary, a couple things to keep in mind. The biggest note there, you were without Xavier Rhodes in week one, and I thought that was a glaring void in coverage, not having that veteran presence out there. Not only did X play on like a, you know, all pro bowl level last year, in my opinion, he also has that familiarity with the NFC, with playing Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks offense numerous times from his tenure previously with the Minnesota Vikings. So I thought you missed him a lot. I thought Rock Ya-Sin did a solid job. You know, I thought Rock was solid. Kenny Moore had a sack. Kenny Moore did, you know, kind of typical Kenny Moore things. But, yeah, there were a few situations when, man, your safeties, Julian Blackman and Kari Willis, were just really outmatched in their situations. Just they weren't there in terms of the speed. The reads weren't there. I mean, part of it just comes down to you're playing a damn smart quarterback. You know that's what Russell Wilson is going to do. He's a 10-year veteran. He has the ability to extend plays because he is so elusive. He's so good. He has, you know, this incredible dynamic and relationship with his receivers. It's almost, you know, Mahomes-like. If you have seen, you know, the quote that was out there where I can't remember which of his receivers was like, you know, sometimes Patrick walks the line of scrimmage and he gives you this look like, yeah, I'm just about to make some stuff up, insert other words and stuff. Like, Russell is kind of like that, right? Where he's just going to toss it up and have guys that can go out and grab it and make you look silly. I mean, when you, there were a couple of times on Sunday in that first half, like Tyler Lockett makes the over the shoulder, and I'm like, I don't know what you do about that. Like, that's just wild, you know, what they're able to do. But this is absolutely a buckle down week for the Colts defense all around. They want to continue to get that pressure up front, and I'll give it to Matthew Stafford. He had an incredible debut with the Rams, 3 passing touchdowns, more than 300 yards passing, no interceptions, a very, very efficient day for Matthew Stafford. And he's, you know, now with Sean McVay, who is an offensive savant, if you will. So that's frightening right there. But I just went back and I looked to, you know, the Colts played Matthew Stafford 2012, 2016, and then just back in 2020. And the Colts had a day when Matthew Stafford was with the Lions last year when they played in Detroit. So I think that it's one of those things where you know his tendencies as a quarterback. Yes, it's different now working in the system with the weapons that he has, but you got to go back to what's worked for you previously and keep it really, really simple and make sure that you aren't allowing yourself to get beat in those situations by your own mistakes. If somebody's right. going to beat you, you know, that's what it is right there. So it's been a frustrating week, but one of the things that all the guys have reiterated is they changed the schedule up this year. So the guys, instead of having Monday off as they have the past 3 or 4 years, they now have Tuesdays off. So they get in on Monday while things are still fresh, review the tape, take Tuesday off to kind of flush everything. Then Wednesday becomes your big install day. Thursday, you're honing in on, you know, red zone stuff, and then having everything cooking by the time you get to Friday and you're ready for that next opponent.
Well, like you said, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, and Russell Wilson, I would put him in the elite category of NFL quarterbacks, and Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford's looking like he's liking his new home with Sean McVay, and certainly looked good last week. Might not be as elusive as Russell Wilson, but a threat nonetheless. So we'll see how it...
He's got a great arm. That's one of the things that you know that for sure. And the other thing that I brought up is, you know, this is a guy who's really motivated to revitalize his career in the yes. second stanza. And, you know, there's something to be said for that. So one of the things I'm curious, though, on is how, and this can be said, you know, I thought about it last week and it was not a factor, but you're going from LA West Coast time, you're kicking off at 10 a.m., what you're used to when you're playing here in Indianapolis. So I don't know, maybe you're kind of hoping that they're still brushing the sleep out of their eyes and haven't gotten nearly enough coffee in them by the time kickoff comes around.
Yeah, well, you know, as someone that is perpetually like that, I can say that definitely can affect your play a little bit. But speaking of coffee, I'd be remiss if we don't wrap up the show with what's Larry eating, what's Larry drinking. It's the new segment. We wrap up every meeting with Larry Overton of the Colts broadcast team. Again, hear her and the Colts right here on ESPN 680, 105.7 noon as they host the Rams. Always appreciate the time. But last week you told us about Pop Chips. What do you got for us this week?
On Pop Chips, by the way, I discovered a new flavor. It is the spicy queso Pop Chip. Don't sleep on them. Go, hurry, go to your Kroger or wherever and pick some up. Those are delicious. The other thing, this is my guilty fall basic chick indulgence. I'm not one of those people who clamors for everything like pumpkin or everything fall. Actually, fall is my least favorite season. So,
what?
I know, it's weird. Football is a saving grace to fall for me. The Starbucks pumpkin cream cheese muffin is un-freaking believable. Go get yourself one, but when you do, get it warmed. If you order on the app, make sure you do the little drop down. Get it warmed. It is so tasty and so delicious. You got to get one. I'm not much of like a pumpkin latte, you know, pumpkin spice latte person, but if you want a little pumpkin flavoring, that with like a dark roast venti,
nice.
It's a great little afternoon delight.
Very nice. Okay, I'm not going to lie. When you started with pumpkin, I was like, come on, Larry, don't give us pumpkin spice latte. No. That's like saying, come to Louisville and drink bourbon. Come on. I mean, give us something more than that.
Mm-mm. No, the pumpkin cream cheese muffin, it flies under the radar. It doesn't get nearly as much like hype as everything else. But you will not be disappointed because it's not overly sweet, and like when you get it warmed, the cream cheese little icing is in the center. It's not on top, so it's almost like a Hostess cupcake where you get the filling
man.
In the middle.
Oh man!
But it's the fall specialty, the delicacy, if you will.
Well, awesome. Well, she's Lara Overton. Come for the Colts knowledge and stay for the food takes. Last week when you said Pop Chips, I mean we always get a couple texts like Colts centric. You know, what's the health of Quentin Nelson? Who gets more carries, Marlon Mack or Jonathan Taylor? Love Lara. She always brings like good insight. But like you know, we had maybe it was like a 4-to-1 ratio of Colts to Pop Chips text that came down the line. The second you said Pop Chips, like 14 people were like, oh yeah, Pop Chips are great. Get them at XYZ store. I mean, the takes for chips were flying in. So we'll see if the text line has a pumpkin cream cheese muffin. Toasted.
Pumpkin cream cheese muffin. That's it. That's
warmed.
And you've got to get them. They're only a limited time. Last year, like, they only put out so many of them. I don't know. They like, per store. I got one the first week they were out, and then they were gone for the rest of the season.
Wow.
So run, don't walk. Get there. Get your indulgence. Let me know. I want a full review next week.
Sounds awesome. Good. Awesome. Well, we always appreciate the time, Lara. Again, hear her in the Colts broadcast team, Lara Overton and company, noon here on ESPN 680 105.7. It'll be Colts Rams. Lara, thank you for the time, and look forward to meeting with you next week.
Awesome. Thanks so much, guys. Have a great rest of the week.
Thanks, Lara.
You too. That does sound delicious.
I didn't know that was a thing. I'm so
like,
happy.
I love like pumpkin bread and stuff like that. That sounds like it'd be right up that alley. I'm gonna be honest, though. Fall is by far the best season.
You almost fell out of your chair when
very
she said that.
Very upset about that statement.
Here's the thing. I was up until...
So confused.
Up until, like, my second junior year, maybe my third junior year of college, I can
relate to that.
Took a couple of victory laps, what can I say?
Oh, yeah.
I was with her. I did not like fall. Fall meant the start of school, and I mean, it was cold. I was a spring guy. I always rallied in spring.
Big man weather, dude. Football. It's the best crisp air.
No, okay. Once I started in college,
sleep with the windows open,
rocking hoodies more, having a couple beers around the campfire more, and hockey season. You know, hockey season started a little earlier. You know, preseason stuff, everything like that. So I started to embrace fall more, and that's the thing. Love summer, but
fall's
big guys, big guys,
tailgating.
Sweaty. No, the temperature is perfect in fall. Fall might have snuck into my second favorite season. I still kind of lean towards winter. I love winter.
Okay, I love
winter. Snow. I love the chance opportunity to play pond hockey. I mean,
I love winter.
Seriously, truly.
We are in the minority, though.
No, I know.
It's weird that you loved winter and didn't like fall, though. That's...
Well, I just but see, now I do. Like, seriously, fall might be my second favorite. My dad loves summer. Summer's great.
One.
Don't get me
Fall's
wrong.
My number one.
And spring definitely has an appeal. There's no better sports season than from March to May. Because, I mean, you have NBA, NHL playoffs getting underway, the Triple Crown, March Madness. I mean,
the Masters.
The Masters. I said my brain was saying U.S. Open, but I knew that was wrong. Yeah, you have a little golf sprinkled in there. That's the best little run, in my humble opinion, of sports all year.
And obviously, living in
with
Louisville,
respect
like,
to football.
Culminating with the Derby, it's a pretty incredible run, but... And Derby was always awesome because we were done with college like that week. You know?
Yeah, no. There's definitely that appeal too.
Let's go have a few beers and forget the semester.
Right.
Literally.
Let's forget everything we learned.
Let's cancel out every single morsel of information that we just learned in one 48-hour period.
Maybe when you stumble out of the infield, you'll remember a nugget about Trotsky from your philosophy class.
So many great memories.
Yeah.
I think I have from Derby.
Well said.
Anyway.
Well said. Well, it is the V Show here. ESPN 680, 105.7 on a Thursday. Dave Skull, Biggest Biscuit, yours truly, Nick Falvano, in for Bobby V. You just heard Lara Overton. That full interview will be on the Podcast Center, GE Appliances Podcast Center, at ESPNLouisville.com, SoundCloud, and on iTunes. We're going to take a short break. We're really late for one. We got to get an ID in there. Got to stay legal. Our buddy, the Acrimonious One Process, will join us in studio. Maybe talk a little NFL. Preview tonight's Thursday night football matchup with Brummage's Cowboys. And, oh my goodness, who are they playing? I'm drawing a blank. Process, who are they playing? Giants.
Washington.
Oh, no, that's right. Yeah, that was last week. I'm a freaking idiot. It's Andy's Giants and the WTF, the Washington football team. I'm an idiot. Thank you, Process. I need to get myself a focus with a PH. But we'll talk a little NFL. We got a ton of a good bevy of sound. Your text as well. It's the V-Show. Thursday, ESPN 680-105.7.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
CardNation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.